Well, some important breaking news now coming in. We've got details of the Directors General of Military Operations of India and Pakistan speaking and what happened. And what we now learn is that both sides have agreed to continue the truce. That's the ceasefire which exists. But the basic point that India has mentioned to Pakistan is that this has to be premised on not a single shot being fired by either side, and that there has to be a consideration of troop reduction. There has to be an effort to draw down soldiers who are in the front lines right now to reduce those tensions. There cannot be any inimical action against each other. The talks were held at about 5 p.m. And the issues, as I mentioned, were related to continuing the commitment that both sides must not fire a single shot. So those were a couple of the important points which have just come up. We've just got those details of those talks between the Directors General of Military Operations. I think I want to talk a little bit about the DGMO. It's headed by a Lieutenant General on our side. There's presumably a Lieutenant General on the Pakistani side. When India struck the terror camps in Pakistan, in Muridkeh, in Bahawalpur, and in other areas, we called up their Director General of Military Operations and said, look, we've done this, we don't want to escalate. We were rebuffed, and our DGMO was told, no, expect a Pakistani retaliation. In a little more than 48 hours, that same Pakistani DGMO called up our DGMO and said, no, wait, perhaps we need to be talking about a ceasefire. And now, today, on the 12th, there is talk about how to take that forward. These are important steps, but perhaps steps because India was able to hit Pakistan hard on the ground, not just at terror camps, but also in military bases. Let's bring up a couple of key points in the map before we listen once again to what the Prime Minister had to say in what I feel is a key aspect of his foreign policy. These were the terror targets, first up, that India hit out at Bahawalpur, way west of the Punjab and Rajasthan frontier. It was a very deep strike. The Jaish-e-Mohammed headquarters, Muridkeh, the headquarters of the Lashkar-e-Toyba, several camps further north. These are shallow. These are just across the line of control, but these were all struck by India. All right. Now, what happened afterwards is what we know about is the military strike. So let's bring out the military strikes which India conducted on Pakistan when they decided to come in. And I just like you to focus for a moment, because we've not really spoken about this enough, on this Malir cantonment, right? Focus, zoom in right over here on Malir cantonment. What is Malir cantonment? In one word, Karachi. That's right. The key point over here is that for the first time since the 1971 war, India has struck Karachi in addition to other places. If you can zoom out and come back to me, I'd like to mention that it's not just Karachi which has been struck. And remember, in 1971, the Indian Navy had a huge role to play when we hit Karachi Harbour. We've hit them again in Karachi, but we've also hit targets in the Lahore area and indeed in the Rawalpindi area as well. The Noor Khan Air Base, Murid Air Base, Pasroor, places in Lahore, Chunia, some of these were radar sites, some of these were command and control sites. Sargodha, very important center of the Pakistani Air Force. Rafiki, this is the heart of the Pakistan Air Force. And therefore, when India struck in the manner that we were able to do, the Pakistani Director General of Military Operations came right back to us and said that, look, perhaps we do need to start talking about a ceasefire. And hopefully, because we don't want a war that goes on, hopefully that results in a drawing down of forces and it results in a lasting ceasefire. But if there's terrorism again, the Prime Minister has made it clear that India will strike. There's one more image that we'd like to bring out over here. And this actually brings together all of it. The markings, the writing in white are all of the terror targets that we have struck. Muridkeh, all of those up there, some in Muzaffarabad. And the marking in yellow are all the military targets that India has been able to strike, including, as I mentioned, Karachi itself. Let's listen in to what the Prime Minister has had to say.
Pakistan ki taraf se jab ye kaha gaya ki uski or se आगे कोई आतंकी गतिविधि और सैन्य दुस्साहस नहीं दिखाया जाएगा, तो भारत ने भी उस पर विचार किया। और मैं फिर दोहरा रहा हूं, हमने पाकिस्तान के आतंकी और सैन्य ठिकानों पर अपनी जवाबी कार्रवाई को अभी सिर्फ स्थगित किया है। आने वाले दिनों में हम पाकिस्तान के हर कदम को इस कसौटी पर मापेंगे कि वो क्या रवैया अपनाता है। ऑपरेशन सिंदूर ने आतंक के खिलाफ लड़ाई में एक नई लकीर खींच दी है, एक नया पैमाना, न्यू नॉर्मल तय कर दिया है। पहला, भारत पर आतंकी हमला हुआ तो मुंह तोड़ जवाब दिया जाएगा। हम अपने तरीके से, अपनी शर्तों पर जवाब देकर रहेंगे। हर उस जगह जाकर कठोर कार्रवाई करेंगे जहां से आतंकी जड़ें निकलती हैं। दूसरा, कोई भी न्यूक्लियर ब्लैकमेल भारत नहीं सहेगा। न्यूक्लियर ब्लैकमेल की आड़ में पनप रहे आतंकी ठिकानों पर भारत सटीक और निर्णायक प्रहार करेगा। तीसरा, हम आतंकी सरपरस्त सरकार और आतंक के आकाओं को अलग अलग नहीं देखेंगे। पाकिस्तानी फौज, पाकिस्तान की सरकार जिस तरह आतंकवाद को खाद पानी दे रहे हैं, वो एक दिन पाकिस्तान को ही समाप्त कर देगा। पाकिस्तान को अगर बचना है तो उसे अपने टेरर इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर का सफाया करना ही होगा। इसके अलावा शांति का कोई रास्ता नहीं है। भारत का मत एकदम स्पष्ट है, टेरर और टॉक एक साथ नहीं हो सकते। टेरर और ट्रेड एक साथ नहीं चल सकते, और पानी और खून भी एक साथ नहीं बह सकता। मैं आज विश्व समुदाय को भी कहूंगा, हमारी घोषित नीति रही है, अगर पाकिस्तान से बात होगी तो टेररिज्म पर ही होगी, अगर पाकिस्तान से बात होगी तो पाक ऑक्यूपाइड कश्मीर पीओके उस पर ही होगी। ऑपरेशन सिंदूर के दौरान दुनिया ने पाकिस्तान का वो घिनौना सच फिर देखा है, जब मारे गए आतंकियों को विदाई देने पाकिस्तानी सेना के बड़े बड़े अफसर उमड़ पड़े। स्टेट स्पॉन्सर्ड टेररिज्म का ये बहुत बड़ा सबूत है। हम भारत और अपने नागरिकों को किसी भी खतरे से बचाने के लिए लगातार निर्णायक कदम उठाते रहेंगे। साथियों, युद्ध के मैदान पर हमने हर बार पाकिस्तान को धूल चटाई है और इस बार ऑपरेशन सिंदूर ने नया आयाम जोड़ा है। हमने रेगिस्तानों और पहाड़ों में अपनी क्षमता का शानदार प्रदर्शन किया और साथ ही न्यू एज वॉरफेयर में भी अपनी श्रेष्ठता सिद्ध की।
Alright, and you can listen to that entire speech of the Prime Minister at 9:30 p.m. In a little while from now. Joining us now, Ambassador Dilip Sinha, Major General Yash Mor, Air Marshal VPS Rana, and Sandeep Shastri and Sajjan Kumar will help us analyze the significance of these remarks. Air Marshal Rana, let me come to you first. How are the remarks made by the Prime Minister directly linked to the ability of the Indian Air Force in sending out a strong message by carrying out very precise targeting and strikes of a number of Pakistani air bases? How have those strikes ultimately boiled down to what the situation presently is?
Thanks, Vishnu. First of all, I think in this entire Op Sindoor, the messaging and symbolism has been very, very perfect right from day one when we chose the name until this day when the Prime Minister delivered that address of his. He was as precise as probably the Indian Air Force strikes were. Very straight, hard-hitting, to the point, precise. So I think in that 15-minute address, he just summarized our entire strategic mindset, our entire capability, and our intent for the futuristic warfare or futuristic response, so to say. As far as the Air Force actions were the objectives that were given to us, we have done from day one. It has been a very, very graduated response. All the time it has been to send a message across that you need to just stop here. First selection of all the, you covered that in a great detail, those 9 targets are very, very carefully chosen. Every single target of that had some signature of past in it, and Prime Minister linked it with the global terrorism. Those all 9 were very, very carefully chosen, and very precise attack was done on. And thereafter, when it Pakistan did not stop, they came next. Even the next one was also very calibrated, only to the air defense system, only to the radars, again not going to the larger military infrastructure. But again, that message again was not taken, and then they attacked all our civilian targets and also our airfield. And we were left.
I want to go across to Ambassador Sinha as well. I found the other key point that the Prime Minister mentioned was on nuclear blackmail, where he said quite clearly that, look, we won't live under this threat of nuclear blackmail. Again, I think that's one of his strongest statements. What's the significance of that?
It is very significant because all this while, not only Pakistan, but the entire world has been saying that these are two nuclear power states, and any action by India will result in a nuclear encounter between the two countries. And that was one of the points that was mentioned, for India to hold back on any kind of conventional retaliation against Pakistan. But this time, we have made it clear to Pakistan that it cannot hide behind this nuclear threat. Its nuclear threat bluff has been called, and that India will retaliate against Pakistan for any of its actions, be it in the field of terrorism or attacks by its forces on our defense establishments. And while we will not escalate the matter, but if Pakistan believes that it can hold out the nuclear threat, then that will not hold back India from acting against Pakistan.
And Ambassador, I think the Indus Water Treaty, the remarks that water and blood cannot flow together, I mean, we aren't even thinking about conversations on the Indus Water Treaty at this stage. All that India and Pakistan might talk about is Pakistan-occupied Kashmir and terrorism, and that's it. I mean, so he's decided that this is it. This is the relationship with Pakistan.
Yes, that the Prime Minister has made very clear. because India has been very unhappy with Pakistan's attitude towards the Indus Waters Treaty and cooperation in this field for the last several years now. In fact, last year, India had proposed to Pakistan to discuss modifications in the treaty to bring it up to date with modern developments. But Pakistan has refused to do that.
Right.
So now that we have kept the treaty in abeyance, the Prime Minister has made it clear that there'll be no talks on the treaty itself now. Any talk will have to be on Pakistan's sponsorship of terrorism.
Okay. General Yashmore, it just strikes me that, you know, in terms of the attacks on Pakistani air bases, it just, the satellite imagery is absolutely clear. You know, there's no, unlike Balakot, when there wasn't really satellite imagery from our side, this time there is. And it's just very specific targets which have been struck. We didn't escalate it beyond a certain point. I think the messaging at this level of retaliation was that look what we could do. Had this escalated further, then we could have really saturated those air bases, because it's quite evident that they were unable to defend against our missiles, whether it's the BrahMos, the Scalp, the Hammer, or whatever else that it is that we used. Would you agree?
Yeah, Vishnu, I think in this entire way, the way we launched Operation Sindoor, the initial briefing where we got the two officers along with the foreign secretary, and then last 2 days, the way our DGMOs, the Army DGMO, Air and Naval Rep, along with them, I think it was brilliant. There's no jingoism, there's no rhetoric. The professional and the brilliant manner in which this entire operation has been planned and executed, the tri-service synergy was visible. The synergy at the national level was visible. And it appeared that, yeah, finally, the entire system of the CCS and working downwards towards various ministries was absolutely brilliant, very well done. And the way our officers conducted themselves was very good, very professional. Now, coming to the way, manner in which we chose the airfields, I think, again, a great messaging. You know, hitting into the desert sector of southern Sindh, hitting Malir cantonment, where 5 crore of Pakistan is situated. And I must tell my audience that if a decision in any future war we really have to seek, it has to come in the desert sector. There are open spaces there. And that is where the might of the Indian mechanized forces, along with our Air Force and the Navy, only theater where the Navy, Air Force and Army can really bring its entire might and make Pakistan, come to its knees, will be in the southern sector. So that is why it conveyed many things. It conveyed it, the messaging was very clear. Signaling was very clear. Choosing of targets were very clear. So hats off. And seeing at least Jacobabad and Malir being hit, pinpoint hit by our weapon systems, by the Air Force, and showing it to the world, I think that is where, in the escalatory ladder, we retained the initiative. Vishnu, it's very important when we go proactive. Part of our proactive strategy is to hit hard and then hit harder and continue hitting harder in the escalatory cycle. Don't let the enemy recover from where we've started. But when we caused, there was a pause, which the Prime Minister said, it is a pause in Operation Sindoor, I think coming on our own terms. And it largely conveys this message to our Indian audience as well as to Pakistan very, very clearly. Vishnu.
All right. Sandeep Shastri, we've spoken about so many aspects of India's foreign policy. But in terms of what the Prime Minister said today, wouldn't you say that over the last so many years, we've seen so many strands of India's foreign policy, this could actually be one of the defining hallmarks of India's foreign policy in terms of where we stand against the fight for terror, how we will walk the talk, and the message to Pakistan. This is a more assertive India, militarily and diplomatically, than we've seen in our history. Would you agree? Would you agree, Sandeep Shastri?
Vishnu, you have made the point extremely succinctly. I would expand on that in three important terms. Number one, if you look at the Prime Minister's speech, it was a clear message at three levels. It was a message back to people at home as to what we have been able to achieve in the last week. Secondly, clearly it was a message to Pakistan in terms of what they can expect us to do based on what they have already seen happening. And thirdly, I think most importantly also, it was a message to the entire world that, and this was towards the end of the Prime Minister's speech, We have this reference to the world and the fact that the world would have seen how we can protect our interests. So I think for me, the first important calibration comes in this multiple messaging that that speech had. Secondly, I think, Vishnu, if you look at in terms of the new language of dialogue, the Prime Minister made very clear that we are setting the terms and not responding to what another nation would do, save if it is an action done by a terrorist group. Let's also remember, Vishnu, there was some talk once the ceasefire was announced that when we could have struck more, we have taken a step back. I think the Prime Minister was addressing that point also when he said Operation Sindoor has not concluded, but then there is a pause to it. And depending on actions which happen in the future, we could still see things taking place. Third and last, Vishnu, I think if you look at the terms of dialogue, you see a new language of politics, new language of dealing with Pakistan, which is coming into play. There is distinctly a different approach to Pakistan. The whole question of only two unfinished businesses, the wiping out of terror and the recovery of Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Now, that has been made very clear. And the wonderful playing with three words that no talks when there is terror, no trade when there is terror, and the whole question of no sharing of water when there is spilling of blood. I thought all these three points are reflective of a changed way of dealing with our neighbor and a changed way of defining and deciding the contours of international politics from India's perspective.
Sajjan Kumar, a debate, you know, it's unfortunate in a sense that there would be a political debate in this country, but it appears to be unfolding now with Jairam Ramesh asking questions on whether what the ceasefire agreement that was signed had to do with Donald Trump and his statements. The US president in the last little while has said, if you stop it, we'll do trade. In other words, if India and Pakistan stop the fighting, we'll do trade. If you don't stop it, we're not going to do any trade. Nobody has used trade like I do. And so the Congress party is asking questions about this. So my question is twofold. Number one, the US may have had an important role, but the sense that I get is that it was because Pakistan felt that its military operations against India couldn't be sustained, given the fact that they were unable to hit their targets on our soil, that they decided that, look, they need to step back, number one. And number two, isn't it rather strange for the Congress party to be raising this now at a time when the wounds are still so raw?
Yes, Shishnu, that's very unfortunate, particularly at a time when India and Pakistan were just in the midst of the war. And like Operation Balakot, you know, this is also the time wherein the opposition, primarily the Congress, is trying to question the credibility of the entire operation, military operation, by questioning the government of the day. And that's why this inability to differentiate between a government and the state and their interest, I mean, something which is quite unfortunate. Why? Because remember, there is something which is a Twitter war, and we are not the experts. When ceasefire was announced and Trump's tweet came, certainly because it was a war, I mean, conflict going on, and there was a desire among a collective desire among the Indians to see Pakistan being punished more and more. So initially there was a bit disappointment, and that was a generic sentiment. But now that the dust has been settled, Pakistan has not denied that their DZMO has reached out to India, and there are credible evidences, satellite imagery and everything that you have shown, and that's very obvious. The collective, you know, there is a collective satisfaction among the Indian, and from the bottom perspective is, remember, that people are going to like that India has crossed the Rubicon from defensive offense to offensive defense. And for the first time, blood and water cannot flow together. That is a new normal. And that is why this time it's going to, entire nation is going to be satisfied that India has moved into the offensive defense strategy, wherein you will enter and target the enemies and terrorists, even if they are across the border. And we are not going to be blackmailed. At this juncture, when entire opposition, and in fact, what is surprising that many politicians like Oweisi and others, you see, their conduct has been quite kind of worthy of the applaud. And at this particular time, when Congress leaders are seeing these things in terms of political pettiness, maybe out of the fear that these actions are going to give the ruling party some political advantage, if that is the concern, this is not the time, certainly. And that's a very unfortunate development, because as a generic feeling and looking from the bottom up as a generic citizen, we do feel that the collective psyche is now extremely satisfied, because we do feel that India has entered really into a new normal of offensive defense, wherein you won't take actions only when you are struck and only when it is compelled upon you. You will take the preemptive measure and go inside the territory of your most dreaded neighbor. Yes, Vishnu.
Ambassador Sinha, final word to you. I find the remarks of Donald Trump bizarre. Frankly, at this stage, when there's so much to suggest that India hasn't been blackmailed by Pakistan, and while America, the close strategic partner, all that is great, but I don't necessarily know or believe that it was because of America's pressure that we stopped this. What is your sense?
Well, you said it, Vishnu. Trump's behavior is bizarre, and his tweets are even more bizarre. I don't think we should pay too much attention to them. What is important is that it is the Pakistanis who approached the Americans and asked them to intervene. The Americans, when they told us, we said that it has to be the DGMO who must call and offer whatever he has to offer. And it's then that DGMO called our DGMO and then offered a truce. So while, yes, the Americans did play a role in the sense that they the Pakistanis approached them for help, but it was eventually our firmness in the matter that ensured that the understanding on a ceasefire came after a proposal was made by Pakistan to our DGMO, who accepted the proposal. And that is how this came about. I don't think the idea that all night Pakistan, American diplomats were talking to various people, I think it's more accurate to say that our forces were blasting various installations in Pakistan that led to Pakistan accepting that it could not continue the war any further, and it had to ask for ceasefire, but it won't approach us directly. It asked for American intervention, and it was then that they were told to come to India directly.
Well, we're going to play out the speech of the Prime Minister now. Let's listen in. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. We'll take a short break and come back with a very hard-hitting address by the Prime Minister. Stay tuned.